We're going to ring that closing bell in about 2 minutes. Helping us stream toward that is Mark Lucchini. He is Janie Montgomery Scott, Chief Investment Strategist. Noah Hammond is Advisor Shares Investments, Founder and CEO. Gentlemen, welcome both to the program. We appreciate you having here. I want to start with Mark, especially with the CPI number we got today, inflation. A lot of people, you know, looking at the yield on the 10-year, it's essentially flat. What does this inflation reading and that fact that the 10-year is just down slightly, the yield, tell you?
Well, a couple of things. One, we're still at very high levels of inflation in this country, and the debate still rages as to whether we're going to see a glide path towards substantially lower levels of inflation, or will it remain at sticky levels much higher than what was anticipated by the Fed or market participants, and they have to reorient to that narrative. However, in the meantime, it also, though, does suggest that perhaps we've seen the peak in this inflation cycle, obviously lapping the effects of a year ago in which we had deflation, plus now a couple of more months where last month's reading now has been the peak, perhaps by way of today's number subsiding somewhat on a year-over-year basis, both on headline and importantly on that core reading, perhaps is indicative of what the Fed has suggested to investors, that this inflationary spike will be transitory, will turn out to come to fruition. And of course, markets are biting on that news. You see a rollover in the 10-year yield coming down somewhat softly around 132, and you even see things like the dollar weakening and gold inflating as a consequence of it serving as an anti-dollar instrument. So it's all one big trade in the context of investors soothing nerves around the prospects that perhaps we're going to continue to see further overheating in the economy that would bring the Fed off the sideline sooner than anticipated.
Okay. We're going to go to the bell. Noah, when we come back, want to talk about ways that investors can hedge. But here we go right now, because I'm having trouble with the IFB, the closing bell. Okay, so let's see where these markets are going to settle today, because we were in record territory for the Dow, up 220 points. Look at that, 35,484. S&P 500 is going to close up today, 11 points, 4447. And then we got the NASDAQ. NASDAQ's going to be down 22, almost 23 points. Let's continue this discussion with our panel before we jump into how some of the stocks performed today, as well as some of the earnings we're waiting for. And Noah, I want to get to you, because right now, I think that there are investors who are cautious and worried, and you've got some suggestions of how they could hedge the gains that a lot of people have made this year. I mean, what, the S&P is up 18%.
Right. With market at all-time highs, as you just mentioned, and you still have, you know, close to zero interest rates. And even though some people on the Fed are suggesting, you know, easing and tapering a little bit on the Fed balance sheet, nonetheless, Chairman Powell said they will continue to be buying bonds. So when you need that environment to hit all-time highs on the stock market, investors are getting nervous. They're getting nervous that, you know, the tiniest spark could cause a big problem. I don't think anyone would be worried about even a 5 or a 10% correction, quite frankly, at all-time highs. But something worse while we are trying to get this economy back in store. And so we are seeing more demand for products that have some level of tacticalness or protection. The two that we talk about the most, one is a hedged equity strategy. It uses options to hedge it. It's in a transparent liquid ETF, the ticker symbol SENT. So that's an equity hedged ETF. But another one is just tactical asset allocation, right? Making these moves and adjustments a little bit like you see in the index numbers today, NASDAQ down, Dow up. So having a manager who can adjust those through those markets for you, QPX is a tactical equity strategy that we've also seen some demand from investors looking for something that can help them react to what could be some quick changes in the market ahead.
Mark, when you're looking for opportunities in this market, I think a lot of investors are confused just in terms of what they should favor at this point, because it seems like the narrative is almost switching at this point on a day-to-day basis. Where are you seeing the most opportunity right now?
Well, of course, we've had this rotation back into these long duration growth sectors like technology and even up until today, at least, healthcare. And I'm not yet ready to abandon the notion that perhaps these value stocks, those cyclical sectors that are among today's leaders and really have been over the last couple of days, I don't believe that trade has necessarily expired. I'm talking, of course, about materials, industrials, financials, and energy. I think if what we find is ultimately that the economy remains robust, which I think it should be, obviously, even augmented further by the prospects of an infrastructure bill, let alone what might follow on in terms of further fiscal stimulus, coupled with the fact that the Fed, while perhaps having achieved its inflation target, is still quite a ways away from maximum employment, according to somewhat qualitative definitions of what they might be aspiring for on that front, suggests that they're going to be very deliberate in their approach and allow for a long runway for monetary policy to work to further embolden this economy and the labor market. Therefore, I think that's a formula for why the dollar will resume ultimately weakening, should help to boost global economic activity at the same time, while other countries are having more successful vaccination campaigns to thwart the virus. And that should be a setup for multinationals that really highly propagate those cyclical sectors, with the exception being financials, which on a domestic front should see some benefits from commercial and industrial loan activity picking up and very easy lending standards.
You know, let's continue that discussion, Noah, because there's a couple of things that are going on here. You've pointed out that perhaps the COVID variant cases could worry investors who could be nervous. We saw Southwest Airlines put out, downgraded their guidance for August, and cancellations are increasing. And yet we keep hearing on the news, traditional news programs in places with spikes in COVID, nobody's going to lock down the economy again. You might have to wear a mask, but they're not going to lock down. So should investors be nervous? Seems to me the economic growth, maybe not in travel or leisure, but economic growth would continue to go up.
Right. I think we could see that. I think we could see economic growth, but maybe some weakness in the stock market. Right. So they actually might not go hand in hand, because I agree with you. I don't think there's much of an appetite. Remember, we used to talk about, you know, what's an essential business and what's not an essential business. You don't even hear that discussion anymore. It's all really about masks and maybe limiting where you're going and how much time you need to spend indoors in certain areas. So I think that's the challenge, is that maybe the economic recovery won't be quite as fast as we hoped. But I agree, we're going to get there. We might be looking and operating a little bit different again, with more face coverings and things like that. And we'll get through this, but it's not going to be a smooth ride. There's some probably more bumpy stops ahead, but I'm with you. It's heading in the right direction, just maybe a slightly different world than we're used to living in.
No, if you are trying to bet on the reopening, though, you think that maybe we will be able to move past some of these headwinds here, at least in the short term. What do you think are the safest bets right now?
You know, safest bets, it's tough, right? I would go to the other guest's comment relative to, you know, cyclical value stocks that are coming into play. Mm-hmm. You know, Double Line runs a value equity ETF with us that, you know, we saw nice gains at in the early part of the year, but then you saw growth, you know, come right back up and kind of take the lead over value. So safe places, that. But if you want to bet a little bit on the opening trade, I know U.S. Global has a Jets ETF, so you can bet on that category. We just launched a restaurant ETF with a ticker symbol EATS, and one that's hotel-focused with beds. So people are starting to adjust their portfolio based on where they see those opportunities in various themes, and this reopening theme is one that's, you know, will get people's attention. But again, I'll still stick to probably going to be a rough, bumpy ride to get through it.
Mark, if it's going to be a bumpy ride, as Noah is indicating, I've still got analysts coming on the program who say, look, S&P 500 will hit 4,500 end of year. We still have a bit of way to go up.
Well, I think there's further upside. Again, the other guest mentioned, I don't think it's going to be without some hesitations along the way, a pullback of some size. I mean, it's notable how long we've gone without one. In fact, we're in a traditionally and seasonally weak season right now, August through September and into October. So it wouldn't come as a shock that something that we already know is enough to cause a little anxiety in among market participants, or perhaps something yet not on the radar does the same. But otherwise, I mean, the fundamentals supporting the stock market between the macroeconomic strength, corporate earnings, which are just absolutely blockbuster, and consensus estimates are for them to continue to remain strong out over the next couple of years or so, coupled with, once again, I think global growth is resynchronizing into a faster pace of activity than what we've seen, given some of the more successful adaptation to the vaccination campaigns that are more robustly being operated in some of the overseas markets that were most directly affected by the coronavirus spread. The consequence of that, I think, leads to much higher equity prices. We too had a 4,500 baseline price target for the S&P 500 that we established earlier this year. In our optimistic scenario, if we get a few other things lining up in our favor, we think 5,000 is not even out of the question at this juncture.
But Mark, if we do see the Fed act maybe a little bit sooner than some investors are anticipating them to do so, we just heard from Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan earlier today. He was making the case for the fact that the Fed should announce tapering in September and start it in October. What do you think the market reaction to something like that could potentially be?
Well, I think arguably the knee-jerk reaction is going to be kind of sell first and ask questions later until fully getting their arms around how quickly the Fed is likely to operate. I'm sure the Fed's going to be exceedingly transparent with how they do that because they don't want a repeat of the taper tantrum back in 2013 under the Bernanke regime. And so I think investors might actually counterintuitively embrace it because I think they would realize ultimately that the Federal Reserve would only act to begin the tapering program, which is the sequencing prior to the point at which they begin to actually raise interest rates, if they felt very strongly that the economy could support it and that they were that they had made, in their words, substantial progress toward their maximum employment mandate, which is the real critical key to a self-sustaining economic expansion, is the labor market and wage growth and the things that would help to shore up consumer finances. And so ultimately, I think early on in that campaign, meaning the point at which they begin to taper and even ultimately early on in a rate tightening cycle, which probably is late 2022, if not even early 2023, I think the market still would find that they have a lot of support in terms of monetary accommodation to run to higher levels than where we are today.